There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You're listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, a Texas Tech athletics podcast where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
All right, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael. Michael, what's up, man?
Man, just reveling in this RPI madness, just enjoying myself. How are you?
We'll get to baseball being brutal in all aspects, but that was quite the, was it even 24 hours?
Since, yeah, a little bit.
Since we talked about it, since we were throwing out, I guess 36 hours. We brought it up following the sweep to West Virginia, prepping to get into hosting New Mexico. Talking about, should we even be playing a game like this against a RPI 220 team?
Yeah.
Tadlock's like, well, we'll worry about that. We'll let the games work themselves out. We're not in the business of canceling games. Well, Timmy, should have canceled that one. Just punched you right in the nuts. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the spring game that was a thing but wasn't a thing because nobody saw it. And then, of course, the thing I think everybody's going to be tuning in for is the food pick'em, which will be last, but quite the stir you got. You whipped everybody into posting that, but
rightfully so. I mean, there are strong opinions to be had here, yet only one correct one.
And yet I feel like you and I are going to differ.
We might. It's rare. It's rare when we disagree, man, me and my R's trouble from the start.
Trouble.
It's going to be a good show.
It's going to be a great show. Speaking of a great show, only possible through our wonderful friends across our, I'd say many, our dyad relationship here with College Huddle and the Stake in the Blames. Great, great friends and productions across the board, but we are closing in on some fantastic collaboration coming your way. Be looking out for that. Us on other shows joining us, all in the name of bringing y'all the best possible content. Because we're all college fans, right? College football, baseball, basketball, soccer, softball, the volleyball, track. My light is going crazy. I don't know if that's picking up or not, but I have a light bulb going out or something. All wonderful things coming down the pike. Be sure you are tuned into all of that. Follow us, the show at 23 Personnel, me, Spencer, Punt Sonic, Michael at Michael_LBK, and College Huddle. We've got all of those wonderful accounts to be tuning into. Got the first College Huddle board meeting coming up next week. Give you a little.
Are you the chairman?
Insider. No, I'm not the chairman.
You're not the chairman of the board.
No, you'd have to be on the, like one of the founding members. Now, we were early. Sure.
That's true.
And the expansion of College Huddle Network. Cause I think we're pushing 75 shows now. We are.
So we were like, I think when Pennsylvania or Maine.
We were in the, not the original Rhode 13. Island. We were, We were not number 15.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I couldn't even
tell. We were drafted in the second round.
Yeah. It's okay, though.
I don't know my history at all. I have no idea who the original 13 were, nor who was 14, 15, 16, and so on.
No, I don't want the ratification of the Constitution.
Constitution talk here on 23 Personnel.
States.
Our weekly segment. We plan on really gearing it up in the summer for Constitution Talk 101. Going through all of the articles. Are there articles in the Constitution?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
All right, here we go.
Bill of Rights has amendments. There we go. Wait. No, you can amend the Constitution. Oh, man. I bet there's some people that are just screaming.
Obviously, we do not take any kind of law or advanced government classes.
No.
Okay. So... Original 13, right? Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Georgia, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maryland, South Carolina, New Hampshire, Virginia, New York, North Carolina, Rhode Island, in order. Michael, if I gave you the next five, could you pick out who is next?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
No, I couldn't. Let me see. Let's put
I
this.
I bet you could.
I'm going to say I can do two or three.
So do you want me to give you the five, or do you want to?
Oh, no, I'm going to try to guess.
Okay. So following Rhode Island at number 14, this would be where 23 Personnel would slide in to the College Huddle Network.
Are we Maine?
Second round.
Is Maine in there?
Maine?
Is it that soon?
No, Maine doesn't join until 23rd. 1820.
Oh, man, Maine, get it together. Get it together up there in the Newfoundland area. Okay.
Newfies.
Let's see.
But it is in that general vicinity.
Did you say Connecticut?
I did. Yes, Connecticut was five.
New Hampshire?
New Hampshire was nine.
Dang it.
You were really paying attention.
I am not looking at a map.
I rolled the rope.
You just tell me. Why don't you tell me?
Vermont.
Oh, of course, Vermont. It's lovely this time of year.
And then the next three are all geographically close, although there was quite a bit of separation between them. 1792, 1796, and 1803.
Took some convincing.
But the three of them are clumped together.
Like
they all border each other.
Did you say South Carolina?
Already? I did. They were eight.
What about West Virginia?
West Virginia.
I feel like they broke off later.
35.
Dang it. Okay. Iowa, Ohio.
Okay, so Ohio is 17. Ohio 17. You got it in the next three, but it's Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio.
Dang. Hello, Appalachia. Welcome bourbon to the United States.
Then Louisiana, Indiana, Mississippi. We don't have to go any further. This is just going to be embarrassing for us. Texas.
This was extra for everybody. You're welcome.
The great state joining at 28. Although notably before Iowa, Wisconsin, obviously California. Go out west.
Yeah, a little further.
New Mexico wasn't a state until 1912. Wow, they suck.
You're just mad. You're just mad that
Green Chili's is growing. I'm just going to admit that.
I think the 17-3 loss might have you a little riled up.
You had to go there. All right.
I did.
Let's not do baseball next. I'm not ready for that. Let's talk quickly basketball, then football, then baseball. Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
Namely, the big thing for basketball. I guess I wasn't sure that this was a thing, but confirmation, Chance McMillan back next year. So that's exciting. Love to see him coming back. I think you've got
two guys, man. That's all we need.
Yeah. You've got,
got D5 and Chance McMillan.
I guess with this, you're technically still waiting on a Kern Walton announcement.
Well, there are the portal guys. So we've got, hey, if Walton announces, boom, that's five. Let's play.
You can play. Yeah, play on.
Let's play basketball.
But Chance McMillan in for 2024-2025. I like him. I do.
Oh, me too. D5. I'm not shocked by this, but I didn't know. I didn't know for sure where he would land. He might feel, and who could really argue with him, that he might deserve a little bit more playing time somewhere else, or maybe McAslin talked him into sticking around, saying, no, you'll have an expanded role this year, even though you were basically our sixth man who just would sometimes have 21 points a game. Yeah. I'm thrilled he's coming back, but I wasn't going to be shocked one way or the other, because I could see someone easily saying, hey, come here to this quote unquote lesser school in the lesser conference or something. And man, you'll start right away. And he would have, but maybe he's kind of going to get to grow into that role here at Texas Tech. We'll see.
Got the opportunity with the roster in front of him. So
yeah, absolutely. We might have the opportunity with the roster in front of us.
This just in, I'm going back to school and walking on. No, just kidding. I probably couldn't even be a manager.
Oh gosh. No.
Team manager.
I'm too out of shape to be a manager.
Be shagging rebounds and be like chasing the balls all over the court.
Sorry guys.
Tapping out coach.
Same for just me. Covered in sweat. I'm wearing slacks. Trying to rebound pregame wearing slacks and a polo, man, you might as well just, I would, no.
It ain't me.
Be terrible.
All right. But that's it. That's it for basketball. We don't have anything
else.
That's it. In terms of news, roster wise, no more transfer commitments, no more portal news. So football, there was kind of a spring game this weekend played in the indoor practice facility here in Lubbock. The full spring game that was supposed to be in Midland obviously canceled with the weather. Of course, we had to get one last blast of cold, wet rain in. I did umpire a baseball game in that, though.
No. Oof.
So, before it was finally canceled.
We were very fortunate. Our soccer game was the last ones because they started at 9. Mm-hmm. So I think they tried to play that and then they canceled from 10 until 3. We played at 2 that day.
Ooh.
They're like, all games are going to resume at 3. And we were just kind of silently fist pumping.
Yeah.
It was still raining, just not as badly.
Yeah. So we
hailed.
It did. We hailed on us while we were on the field
that morning. I'm sure it hailed on them at Burl Huffman too.
So it's not unusual. We have a 40-40-40 rule. Temps over 40 degrees, winds under 40 miles per hour.
Wow.
Wind chill above 40, and you can play on. That's it in terms of weather related rules. We have a 30-minute lightning delay. If a lightning strike, you know, cloud to ground strike is within 8 miles of the field. And it just resets. But that's it. Basically, everything else is left up to the board that is on duty, board member on duty at the complex. But we were in a interesting predicament on Saturday because this was our older division in our league. And they play cross divisional, so they would play teams from other leagues. When that happens, the call goes up one level to the district administrator. So it's not our board's call, it's our district admin's call. We had board members on site, they were checking the weather. It was borderline the entire time, and then it dumped on us for 15 minutes. We went into a delay. I was the home plate umpire. Kid was slipping on the mound. I was like, "Oh, we're gonna pause it here because there's gonna be a little bit of a break. We'll maybe we'll get this game in." Field was fine, except for we have an artificial mound. The kid was slipping. This is way too much detail for talking about football here.
At least you know.
The district admin was like, no, we're gonna play on. And both teams were like, that's ridiculous. The team from not our league was throwing a hissy fit. Of course, they got it 4 runs, and then we suspended the game. Like, we should call the game now. I was like, of course you would want that. The other team's like, well, I mean, if they got to bat in this, I want to bat in this. It wasn't really batting. It was a lot of walks because the pitchers were wild.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sure.
A letter was sent to Waco, which is the state headquarters of Little League, just blasting everybody in charge of what happened in Lubbock that day. We suspended the game at the end of the first inning. It took us a full hour to get there with rain delays and all that kind of stuff. One of the coaches from the visiting team has been removed from his team because of his behavior that morning. Kids had fun. I was miserable.
That's
but
good.
I was cold. Wet.
Yeah, it was very cold.
Football
it was
team
a cold,
did
cold, rainy day.
They chose way ahead of time not to partake in that. We decided 11 o'clock. That's about it for us. We're done. So spring football game, moved to the indoor practice facility. We got some ground level clips as it was happening.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
Didn't watch them.
I watched, and
I almost don't care because clips from practice show me nothing.
Yeah, you didn't even have like a good angle.
Nope.
So the two clips I watched, they were both touchdowns. One was a Cameron Brown.
Of course they were.
Touchdown. angle was from the back of the end zone as they were coming towards you. So you couldn't tell what was going on in the pocket.
Zero depth perception.
What anything else was happening? You couldn't even tell how far out they were. 20, 30 yards maybe, something like that.
Never see it coming.
Drops a dime, though, to Caleb Douglas.
Did you see the note I had in here?
No.
Check out my note.
You talking about the QB controversy?
Yeah. Are we there?
No.
Are we there yet?
Because it wasn't.
Do we have some crazy A fans already calling for QB2 yet? Because it's going to happen, baby. Baron Morton is no longer QB2. No,
he was for sure QB1.
Step up.
I mean, that was obviously clear when they said we're playing for two here. We're playing for second. A
couple of rough series versus ACU. Well, might as well put the young kid in, see what he can do.
Because that one clip.
God, I love it.
On Twitter.
Every year. Oh, man, it's just beautiful.
and so.
Washington State sucks. We might as well see what this kid can do.
Yep.
Every time.
The other clip I watched was a Will Hammond touchdown. This is from the back of the pocket. So you saw a little bit more about what he was dealing with and what he saw because camera angle was looking left. He threw left the whole time. Sorry, camera angle was looking left the whole time. He ended up throwing left. Did have pressure in his face. Without the great depth perception, like you couldn't tell how far he was. And then he hit, well, I believe it was Aiken down the sideline for a touchdown. Side tangent here. I met Mr. Hammond on Sunday at church.
Oh, nice.
Got to shake hands with that young man. Fantastic young dude.
Have you seen Dazed and Confused?
No.
Dang it. Well, there's a scene where there's an old guy who runs into, I'm not implying you're an old guy, but you're older.
Compared to him, yeah, I'm twice his age.
A collegiate freshman. But there's a guy who finds Randall Pink Floyd, who is the quarterback for the team. And he grabs him by the arm. And I think it's the wrong arm, but that was one of those kind of things that they mentioned later on in the, like it was a movie flub. And he was like, is this arm ready to throw 1,000 yards this season? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
You boys are looking good, looking tough.
So I just was like, I was hoping you were able to channel that. But since you didn't know, you need to go at least watch that scene and you'll get it. Next time you see him, he'll get the reference too, totally, because he was born 10 years after that movie came out. So he'll completely get it.
I haven't even seen it, so I didn't get the reference.
10 years is generous. It's probably more than that.
Yeah. So Cameron Brown named QB2 following the performance, even though we saw two absolute dots from our other quarterbacks, Brown and Hammond. But what do we know? That did see that it went into overtime, and
Whatever.
Team Taj won on a walk-off field goal. Drilled it seemed like 50 yards. Again, because it was field level, I couldn't exactly tell where it was kicking the ball from. So hurrah. I guess it's kind of a fitting end to the spring practice where we haven't heard much of anything from football, that we don't even get to watch the spring game. So we don't even get to drum up our own narratives from like, oh man, he looked really good. Our receivers are coming together. Our defense is... It's going to be
a lot of improvement on that offensive line. They're moving bodies around.
Yeah. We don't even get that. So
no,
I don't know if that's
speculate.
I don't know if that's good or bad yet.
I don't either. I enjoy the mystery because there's no predicting it at this stage anyway. And we are in such a kind of shrouded point in Texas Tech football. And part of it's intentional and part of it's just the timing of it. Yep. The fact that the Jones is under construction and
always,
even if they had the spring, though. Oh, I know it's going to look great, but we're still just, all we're seeing is just, you know, steel beams. And I think they were putting shingles up today. Joey McGuire had a tweet saying that the guys putting up the shingles were definitely representing the brand. And I agree with that. I hope they were following OSHA stipulations, because the quick photo I saw, man, looks like they were just walking around on top of those Spanish tiles. I'm sure there was something. There had to have been, what do you call that? I was going to say ratcheted in, but that's not really it. Tethered,
so, tied in, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, between that and the partially intentional and unintentional lack of access to the spring practice, I think they learned from their, you know, so you could call it a mistake from last season on how much they talked and how much they were trying to rep the brand so much and made a ton of videos. And I just feel like a lot of sound bites were captured during last off season and they didn't live up to it. So it seems like either that's been noted and either intentionally or not, they're being a lot quieter. And just hopefully going to let the game speak for itself, brother.
Hey, really quickly, the last time a football construction project was undergoing a roofing update, there was a major fire. So just glad that didn't happen. I don't know if you remember that. Oof. When they were building the indoor. One day they had a fire on the roof during construction.
Oof.
Nobody was hurt, thankfully.
That's great. Yes. Very good.
I mean, there was major damage. Why would you bring that up? There was no, I'm just saying because we're in it now and we're doing great.
Oh, we're in it.
We're in it. All right. Speaking about in it, baseball, are they in it? Are they out of it?
Man, I wish you'd have asked me that at like 2 o'clock today. Maybe even 2:30.
I was confident. And I was like, man, we're just going to walk all over Lobos here.
Oh, I was completely looking ahead. I didn't look into the Lobos at all. I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. Win. Let's see what Kansas is up to. Oh, they've got some decent pitching. They've got some decent offense. You know, we mm-hmm. really got to look into this. Yeah, whatever. Lobos, blah, blah, blah.
17-3.
Bad idea. 17-3. Yeah.
Including a 6-run ninth, wherein the Lobos hit a grand slam.
I had like
a conference call and a ton of, anyway, there was no way I was able to keep up with this game live, but I had no idea that I forgot when I tuned in and Tech had just scored. And I think it was, I checked on Twitter and Tech had scored and it was 7-3. And I thought, oh gosh. And Tech just scored. This isn't good. So yeah, I knew the score was 17-3, but I didn't realize until just this moment that six of those came in the ninth.
Brutal. I mean, 11-3 would have been bad. 17-3, much worse.
Because I had in my notes that, you know, one of my jabs against, who was it? Let's see, Kansas. They beat, okay. So obviously Tech plays Kansas and Lawrence this weekend. That's their Big 12 series. And Kansas is coming off a 2-1 series against Baylor. And I had in my notes, I thought, oh, this is a good dig. And they run ruled Baylor in Waco 12-2 in 8 innings on Sunday. And I thought, yeah, totally. Let's bring down the Waco Bears a notch or two, even though they're already down pretty low. And then yeah, Tech loses 17-3 today.
Yeah. So there was lots of conversation. We were involved in it on some level too, about the RPI. Going into the weekend, your RPI was 32. You put in
after two road losses.
Yeah.
To Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. It actually went up. That's why we were talking about, like, there are no L's in RPI. That was last week because it went up when you got, you lost 2 1-run games against the number one team in the country. You're like, all right, it happens. You ran into the number one team at their place. Okay. Come home. You do absolute magnificent work Friday, twice on Sunday, because the Saturday game got moved. You swept them. You swept West Virginia. They were sitting atop the conference. They had just come off their own series sweep where they swept UCF, and you're like, you're done winning. You took them 15-2. You really set the stage Friday night, 15-2. Then the second game, Sunday afternoon, 6-4. Then second game on Sunday, a little bit closer, but still 3-1. You looked great all weekend. There were some moments, obviously, but your pitching was, I didn't feel like as worried at times as I have in previous weekend. Like there've been times like you win a game, you're like, whew, I didn't feel that. I was confident. Well, that's out the window. You got waxed at home by the number 209 RPI team, New Mexico. You lost, you broke your 11 game home win streak. Following the sweep, your RPI worked its way up to 28. There were conversations like, okay, your non-conference schedule on the rest of the way out, you shouldn't lose any of those games. There is a theoretical, not too far-fetched path where you can climb up into the top 20 RPI, be pushing for like a regional host spot, especially when you look at everybody else in the top 20. They're all out in the Southeast and ACC country. Like they're gonna be begging for somebody a little further west than Mississippi. And then you do that. You get waxed by the Lobos. RPI drops back to 32. I mean, it took you one game to erase what you did against a much, much better team in three games. Now, I don't love the optics of it, of canceling games because of RPI. But now we're living it. Absolutely. Seen teams across the country like, man, it's not worth it. Like, even if you'd won this game, you probably would have dropped RPI. Let's be honest. There was no benefit to playing this game. And then that happened. So back down to 32. Is that terrible? No. But like I said, it like the work you put in three games versus West Virginia wiped out in one game versus New Mexico. That's the power of losing to such a terrible, terrible New Mexico team.
Does RPI take into account the way in which they got waxed?
Oh yeah.
Does it take in? Okay. So the 14 run differential will come into play. And you mentioned that it's already 32. So it's already updated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Warren Nolan live it's RPI. Fast. Yeah, it's live. And I guess
do it live.
Yeah. We're going to do it live. Depending on how everybody else around you performs tonight, you could, I guess, theoretically continue to drop.
That's true.
I mean, let me just double check. Oh, well, you're up to 31 right now.
Okay.
Kansas State's dropped back a few spots, cleared some space for you to move up. But anyways, 31, 32, whatever it is. Stats update really quickly because it's big picture. We'll talk about that before we set up the weekend series with Kansas. Coming into the game, I don't expect any of these would change but at least in the conference, you're still first, absolutely first in average runs and runs per game. I think you've outscored the next opponent by almost 100 runs, which is just ridiculous. Hits, slugging percentage, walks on base. You retook the first place in doubles. You are second in home runs by only two now, and hit by pitch. Only one of your regular starters is batting under 300, and that's Tracer Lopez. Cade McGee, with his excellent weekend, has moved up. Speaking of Cade McGee, newcomer of the week, Austin Green is just a man on fire. He was Big 12 player of the week. Damian Bravo, first in the conference and batting average, still, like, he had a great week. Moved his batting average back up. He's hitting .423. Second place is Brady Day at Kansas State, .379, almost 50 points separating first and second place, which is just ridiculous. And it's not like Damian Bravo is he's barely scraping enough at bats to be considered a,
yeah.
No, he's an everyday starter and has been all season.
Well, and he had a slump. Was it a weekend ago?
And I guess,
was it the weekend before Arkansas? I feel like he went 0-for-10 or something, and that's included.
He was like hitting .450, and he did miss a few games because of a hand or wrist injury.
Yes, right.
So, but bounced back from that, re-entered the lineup like nothing was wrong. Your pitching numbers actually improved. I mean, not actually, they did improve with the weekend you had. Your starters are dropping their ERA now. It's down to 5.42, 160 WHIP. Opponents are batting .279 against your starters. Bullpen .493 ERA. So those numbers are tightening up. 153 WHIP. Opponents are batting .264. I mean, very, very similar numbers. Your combined pitching staff, 5.06 ERA. Good for seventh in the conference, so right there in the middle. Errors coming into today, you had 44 in 42 games. I think you had three errors today, so you're up to 47 errors in 43 games. It's a .972 fielding percentage. Shout out to Mesquite area code 972. Had one of those phone numbers for a long, long time. Eighth in Big 12 fielding percentage, so I think early season when we were harping on all the errors, I mean, obviously three errors in a game is bad. It's not been the errors that have killed you. It's been timely hitting or the lack thereof, and then not being able to make routine plays that aren't necessarily errors, but today showed up in errors. Kansas, somehow worse on defense.
Yeah, one of the worst in the conference.
They are 967 fielding percentage. I think what you said they are.
Yeah, they are last, but they're tied with Baylor and Oklahoma State.
There you go. The Jayhawks, 21-15 on the year, 9-9 in Big 12 play, in sixth place, tied with Kansas State, Baylor, and Cincinnati. RPI of 87. We already talked about how they won their weekend series against Waco and run ruled them on Sunday. They have a midweek game or series. I think it's just a game against Nebraska.
Yeah, it's just one. And they did end up, they won 9-4.
Fantastic work, Jayhawks.
Happy for you.
Happy for you. Friday, Saturday, Sunday series, 6-2-1 up there in Lawrence. And then following that, you've got UTRGV, even worse of an RPI game for you. And then the next home series following that will be Oklahoma. But Kansas.
Didn't UTRGV beat Texas?
They did. They did. Let's figure out where they are on the old RPI list here. Scrolling. Oh, Kansas is up to 73rd in RPI.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I didn't know where Nebraska was. So Nebraska might be a decent team. I have no idea if they're good or not.
Who am I looking for? UTRGV.
The Vaqueros.
Fantastic name, by the way. Love
that. The Rio Grande Valley.
Still scrolling.
Oh, boy. Still scrolling?
Still scrolling. I have hit. Oh, New Mexico jumped up to 192. Still haven't found UTRGV, though. New Mexico State. Okay,
still scrolling.
St. Bonnie?
Who?
St. Bonaventure. Good gravy. 250, still haven't found them. Hopefully I just passed them and missed it. Okay, I had to have missed it. I hit the bottom and did not find them. So I don't
do
know.
A good old control F.
Yeah, but I was going to do that, but I was like, I don't know how they're listed. UTRGV. 229. Okay, so.
Really? Mine says 230. Maybe it updated that fast.
They don't want you to know.
Yeah, they don't want you to even know what a RPI is. So yeah, 229, 230. That's where we're sitting with UTRGV. They have a 19-17 record. Ugh. Overall. And I would tell you their conference record, but I can't scroll over. So it's fine. Doesn't matter. We're not in their conference. We're not in the WAC.
That's WAC, bro.
It is.
Okay. Kansas first, though. Offensively, they are a team to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
Kind of in some aspect. Like batting average for sure, 302. They bat as a team. You're at 324. They slug 505. You're at 548. On base of 407. You're at 433. So those three numbers, all very similar. They're going to look a lot like you. Power numbers, not so much. I mean, you would think that would show up in slugging. They don't have as many home runs. You've hit 73. They've hit 49. They've scored 120 fewer runs than you have, 403 to 282. They've struck out 110 times fewer than you have, 343 to 231. They're not as aggressive as you are on the base paths. They're 19 of 22, but they're effective and efficient when they do. You are 42 of 47. Defensively, like, very, very similar. Opponent batting average against. Opponents are hitting 271 against Tech, 269 versus Kansas. Your pitching staff ERA 509. Theirs is 478. I believe they're right in front of you in terms of conference ERA. Nope, they're in third.
They're third, and Tech is seventh.
They don't walk as many guys as you do. They have 143 walks on the season to your 186. They've given up 20 fewer home runs, 29 to your 48. They've allowed 202 runs to score where you've allowed 235. This is all, of course, coming into today. They've struck out 328 batters to your 373. Fielding percentage, you're at 971, 972, depending on how you round. to their 967. So they're last there. They've got two really good weekend starters, and then they have a bullpen day on Sunday. They've had the same guy like open up on Sunday the past 2 weeks, but literally we'll throw like nine guys on Sunday. But before you get there, who you'll see, Reese Dutton, Big 12 leader in wins with seven. He is 7-2 in his 10 starts, 3.05 ERA with a 1.21 whip on the year, 56 innings pitched. So he's regularly getting to the sixth inning, giving up 49 hits, 26 runs, only 19 earned, 19 walks to 56 strikeouts. Opponents are batting 229 against him. The other starter you'll see, very similar looking numbers, also has 10 starts. He's 5-2 on the season, 289 ERA, 123 whip through 56 innings, 48 hits, 21 runs, only 18 earned, 21 walks, 56 strikeouts. Opponents are batting 227. Those are all almost identical numbers between their two weekend starters, Reese Dutton and Dominic Vogeli.
Okay. Yeah. Very, I was good. Like, you didn't say the second guy till just now, I don't think. But I wasn't going to jump in and try to pronounce that. So
I don't know if it's like a
just going to let it go.
Pronunciation, V O E G E L E. So that the E after an O, or like after a vowel, you'd get the umlaut pronunciation. So Vergel, Vergel. But then you have an E at the end, Vergely. Or it could be just straight up Americanized Vogeli.
Or just Vogel.
Vogel.
That's a
Texas German. His name's Vogel.
That's my Taylor County interpretation of it. Vogel.
So.
Or you could do Vogeli.
He could be, yeah, he could be Italian.
It's Dominic Vogeli. That's it.
That's all we got on his name. So you got your work cut out for you because you'll be on the road. You'll be looking in the mirror in a lot of aspects with this Kansas team. Said they're batting right up there with you. The only biggest difference there, they don't hit as many home runs. They don't score as many runs. But on base slugging average are all pretty close to what you have. Defensively and on the mound, they're just a little bit better. And that'll probably come into play, being that they'll be at home. You'll see a familiar face over there on the in the dugout there for the Jayhawks, Sam Hunt. No, not that one. The guy that almost hit a home run, or did hit a home run, as a Red Raider in Lawrence, then left the base path because he thought it was caught and was called out. That guy. Still a Jayhawk. He's been with them now two seasons. The last time you were playing in Lawrence is when he hit that ball. Got deked out by the center fielder, left the base pass with called out on a home run, which is just most unfortunate. You need this one, Michael. I mean, at this point, you're kind of fighting for a two seed, RPI strength to be up at a two seed. But I don't know, man. Baseball is such a wild ride this year.
Yeah, it really is. And I think there's some injuries right now too, right?
So you're without Trenton Parrish.
Okay.
And Tabor Fast.
And that's right.
One more pitcher. Is it Washburn? You haven't seen him in a minute.
I thought someone got hurt this weekend. Was that Fast?
He hasn't pitched in a while.
Oh man, it's killing me. I know someone got hurt this weekend. Anywho.
Yeah. So you need them. You need these games. As many as you can get. Anything else on baseball or softball? We kind of just pass right over softball real quick.
Yeah, I'll touch base on softball really quickly, but as always, go to Seeing Scarlet. Follow them on Twitter. Go to seeing-scarlet.com for their new website. Just a recap on the Big 12. Texas is still good. They're number one in the country. Oklahoma is still number two. Oklahoma State moved from 5 to 6, but that is where the Red Raiders were this weekend. They were up in Stillwater, and they were swept, unfortunately, by the Cowboys? Cowgirls? I don't know. Oklahoma State. But they are still in it because they get to host Houston this weekend, and Houston is an even 23-23 on the season. They've somehow played 46 games. It seems like a lot of softball, but they are only 3-18 in the Big 12. That puts them at dead last. So our Red Raiders have a chance to possibly get a sweep, maybe get back into the Big 12 standings a little bit, possibly make, you know, a run at some postseason play. We'll see. But yeah, they were, you know, going into the series against Oklahoma State, they were 6th in the Big 12, and that dropped them to 8th. But if they're able to get 3 against a Houston team that's only won 3 games in the Big 12 all year, that would absolutely get them moving in the right direction. Go to Seeing Scarlet.
Yeah.
Check them out.
Sorry, really quickly, I was looking at the individual leaders for hitting in the Big 12 baseball. And we failed to mention anybody to look out for Kansas wise. I just kept coming across another like Jayhawk after Jayhawk after Jayhawk in the top 20 in terms of batting average. So we talked about Damian Bravo being first, and how Brady Day was second. He's actually third now, after today. Jackson Nicklaus of Oklahoma overtook that second spot. So Jayhawks have the number 4 guy, John Nett, batting 372. Jake English, number 9 at 357. Texas Tech doesn't have a second guy on the list until 14. Kevin Bazell, 344. Kansas at number 17. Cody Shojinaga.
Ooh, careful.
That's the thing. I was confident, and I was like, it just felt wrong. Shojinaga. Cody batting 342. Austin Green at 18 at 341. Kansas has another guy at 19. Mike Kosheski at 340. Michael Brooks at 23 for Kansas, 331. Ben Hartle, 329. TJ Pompey at 32, 324. Just so like you had 3 guys in the top 32. They had 1, 2, 3, 4. Five in the top 25. So they're a lot more concentrated at the top of there in terms of their batting. All right. I think it's time, Michael. I think it's time we get to the questions, the Texas food pick 'em.
I'm ready.
Give the people what they want.
So ready.
All right, so if you haven't seen it, we tweeted it out. 1 Texas food per row. So row number 1, A, Tex-Mex, B, barbecue, and C, Whataburger. So what you're doing is you're picking 1 from this row to move on to be part of your team.
Before we go any further, I would like for you to describe to the people the shirt that you are currently wearing.
All right. If you're not watching the show on YouTube, you should. You should subscribe to our YouTube channel, 23 Personnel. You can watch the streams as they happen Tuesday nights, mostly Tuesday nights. But it's a white Pearl Snap Whataburger shirt.
I didn't notice it was Pearl Snap.
I got to pick it up a little bit. You can't see the top button.
Oh, that's great.
I got this for my birthday last summer. Whatever brand this is, it fits super strange. So for a long time, I've worn 2X shirts. I put this on and it was like sausage in a casing, dude. It was like, nope, I ain't wearing this. It was super tight. Well, it's a little bit baggier now.
Breathes a little bit. Well, I mean,
it fits me
nicely. Dropped a handful of LBs, to put it lightly.
Yeah. All right. Here's the thing. It was very, very intentional to wear this shirt. because we're not eliminating one. I only get to pick one.
That's correct.
Y'all know Whataburger, number one in my heart. But going up against Tex-Mex and barbecue, if I can only have one, it would be third. Now, here's where I get caught up though, Michael. I can't really decide between Tex-Mex and barbecue. I think because Texas barbecue is so iconic and it's its own thing, like I have to go with barbecue.
Really?
I love Tex-Mex. Like I had it for dinner tonight. But I have to fly the flag, man. We gotta stick with it. These colors don't run. The orange and white Whataburger. But for me, I'm going B, barbecue. Real authentic Texas style barbecue. I know people like we've had people weigh in on Twitter from states north of Texas. Go with Tex-Mex. It's like that's a bold move. Tex-Mex in Texas is legit, but people from Kansas taking Tex-Mex, like, that's suspect, even with your Kansas City barbecue. Anyways, what about you, Michael? You taking Tex-Mex barbecue or Whataburger?
Tex-Mex. It was easy.
Easy? Wow.
It was easy for me, yes. Because I cannot... I think I appreciate Tex-Mex so much more because I absolutely cannot make it. Anytime I try to make Tex-Mex, it is not very good. And I was even going further down the road of, well, what is considered Tex-Mex? Is a burrito? Like, does that mean if I pick barbecue, am I giving up burritos altogether? Am I giving up any form of nachos? I will obviously be giving up enchiladas, crunchy tacos, all of that stuff. So I thought, man, I just can't do it. I can't take that risk. I can't give up fajitas. Because fajitas, you kind of find a gray area. Barbacoa, that's kind of a gray area. You could still get kind of a smoky fix going on there in your Tex-Mex. But man, to me, it was easier than I thought it would be. I can't do without a plate of like two cheese enchiladas covered in red sauce, side of beans and rice, a little guacamole salad, and maybe like a crunchy taco with it. Oh man, I can't give it up. Can't give it up. Tex-Mex wins. That's the correct answer.
I feel the same way about barbecue, man. Like I can't give up a good Texas brisket or pulled pork sliders or like you can do so much with brisket. What we did this week, the last time we had a brisket, it didn't work out so well. Like it was a little dry. So what we did chopped beef sandwiches with it.
Oh, I love chopped beef.
We put it over nachos. And I guess that's kind of blurring the lines there with Tex-Mex. But here's where I'm going to redeem. So the next row, DEF, D-E-N-F. So D is Texas Twinkies. If you don't know what those are cream cheese stuffed jalapenos wrapped in bacon. E is queso. F is cowboy caviar. Full disclosure, I had to ask Michael what that was. So that's obviously out for me. But I'm taking queso.
My mom will make cowboy caviar on occasion. There's a recipe for it in the Perini's cookbook. And I like it fine.
It looks fine. Looks good.
This was a no-brainer for me, queso. I don't even think I really looked at what the other two were. I just thought, yeah, it's got to be queso. What are the other two? My wife and daughter? Okay, I'll have to stop and think. If it's anything else, it's queso.
And this is coming from guys. So I'll have to go way back in the time machine. There was a day we were up at the radio station doing one of our pregame shows. And we had Uber Eats deliver a box of smoked bacon wrapped jalapenos from one of the local barbecue places.
Oh yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. There are places here in town that still make them. Rojinho up in Olton make a fantastic version of this. You can get these basically any great barbecue restaurant. They're great. They are. In terms of longevity and what you can do with it, man, like queso though. So this is where like I'm probably cheating here. I'm cutting Tex-Mex in the first row, but I'm picking it back up with the queso.
You're kind of having your cake and eating it too, because you could build a.
We're coming back to that.
Oh man, think about this. You could build a brisket, baked potato, and like cover it with queso if you wanted to, which is actually I think how HEB does it.
Sounds so good.
I think they put white queso on their baked potatoes, which is both great and bad. Mm-hmm. I found that out because I got it as takeout. And by the time you get it home, it's like, oh yeah, this would have been better had someone handed me a queso drenched baked potato and I ate it right then.
Yeah. I'm also like with queso, I'm including chips. I'm thinking like you can make a mean plate of nachos with some brisket.
Absolutely, you can. And pulled pork.
Pulled pork. I've had pulled pork nachos before from Fuzzy's. Oh boy.
Yes.
Those were delicious. I dream about those bad boys sometimes. All right. Lastly, Texas desserts. Iconic Dr. Pepper Bluebell ice cream.
Well, okay. Let's see.
I'm going with what's shown here. Is Dr. Pepper float flavored?
You don't think it's just Bluebell in general?
I think if it was Bluebell in general, they probably would have picked a different flavor. This feels very intentional with Dr. Pepper being that it's like the state beverage.
Okay. If we're agreeing on those terms, I am changing my answer right now in my head. Okay.
I've had the Dr. Pepper float Bluebell ice cream flavor and it's okay. Ice cream is up there. It's like S tier in this family. We have it almost every night. I'm not taking ice cream here. The other one, pecan fudge pie, it's a fantastic combination of flavors. But sheet cake, that's where it's at.
Whoa. Okay. Expand. Go on.
Okay. So one, I grew up having sheet cake all the time. My mom has this fantastic recipe. It's a family recipe. Like it was one of the things like she would make when I would come home for like a long weekend or a break from school to send me back with. That's probably what is why.
Oh man.
How I gained like the 20 pounds I did in freshman year. Cause I ate so much freaking sheet cake that year.
Mine was 7-Up pound cake. That's what my dad actually learned. Cause his mom made it. And so he missed it so much that when she passed, he learned how to make it. And that was always the thing that got sent home with me. Anyway, sorry.
Also, like just to be fair to go again, going back to barbecue, there's a barbecue establishment here in town, Evie Mays.
Yes.
They make a fantastic sheet cake.
They do.
So for me, it's B E Z barbecue, queso, sheet cake. I think I have a pretty good idea that you're going to go with something else besides sheet cake. So dessert wise, Michael, what are you rolling with?
You rocked my world. Okay. If we are both in agreement that this graphic means that the Bluebell ice cream has to be the Dr. Pepper float ice cream, I am out, because this was a no-brainer for me going in. I thought if it's just Bluebell in general versus pecan fudge pie or sheet cake, I've got to take Bluebell because they have so many great flavors. They have the chocolate peanut butter. They have the cherry vanilla, which is maybe my favorite ice cream ever. It's so simple. It's so there's just that's it. That's all you need. Just maraschino cherries and vanilla. It's beautiful.
Can I tell you about another half gallon flavor that we just polished off tonight?
Or please.
Not, last night. It's their cookies and cream crunch.
Oh.
So it's cookies and cream flavored ice cream, but with like a chocolate waffle cone mixed in too.
Get out of town.
It's one of those things you have to come upon it. It's not a staple. Not always around. Sometimes you have to dig through butter pecan because for whatever reason, especially Walmart, I love butter pecan at Walmart.
Well,
who's buying enough butter pecan to keep this? Anyways.
Well, actually, I don't buy it that much because no one else eats it but me at the house. So, but cookies and cream is the, I think I've talked about this before, is our household agreed upon. Everyone likes that flavor pretty much equally.
Who doesn't like Oreos?
I know. My wife likes it. My daughter likes it. I like it. So this is very interesting to me. I think all three of us would would demolish this. The one we've had, and I can't remember if we talked about it last week or not on while we're recording or not, is that gooey butter cake. That's one of their kind of newer flavors that they have. Uh-huh. We've taken down 2 half gallons of that so far into the season. So this was going to be easy for me, but once we both agreed that it's only the Dr. Pepper float, you know, I'm kind of middle of the road on Dr. Pepper anyway. So that's out. My favorite pie though is pecan pie. I can take or leave, you know, if it's got the fudge in it, that's fine. That's, you know, it's okay.
It was the fudge.
Regular pecan is better.
The fudge for me would have been pushing pecan up. Like that's what had me considering the pecan fudge pie, because pecan is not my favorite.
Oh man, it is mine. And guys, if you're in Lubbock, there's a little place called the Honeycomb Pie Shop that you need to visit. It's just a great place to go have lunch. And they have, you know, like patty melts and hamburgers, but they mostly have sandwiches and salads. And man, your sandwich comes with like a pickle spear and a pasta salad and side salad or chips, or I don't know. It comes with like 4 things, but obviously they're a pie shop. We had, my wife and I had lunch there last week and split a buttermilk pie, or not a whole pie. I mean, I probably could have done it, but a slice of buttermilk pie, fantastic. But their pecan pie has made it into Texas Monthly, I think a handful of times, or nice. Some other random places. So I love pecan pie because I feel like it's not a seasonal pie. It's whenever everyone makes it down here, at least. And it's a summer pie. It's a winter pie. It's wonderful at Christmas. It's wonderful at New Year's. It's great. So anyway, I would pick pecan fudge pie out of those three. I love sheet cake though. It wasn't something I grew up eating.
Yeah. It's the nostalgia for me,
man. And just that kind of how the icing or the frosting, I always get those wrong. It's just, it's almost got that crisp quality to it on the top where you're slicing through. Oh man. Yeah. It's killer. That's actually tough for me between pecan fudge pie and sheet cake, but my love of regular pecan pie trumps all there.
All right. So you're rolling.
Oh, cookies and cream cone. That's the ice cream that you were telling me about.
Yeah. I put a picture in the notes for you to look at it. So it's in a brown, like a chocolate waffle cone theme.
I'm messaging this to my wife right now.
Container, right? Graphic. Right. Yeah. So like the texture, the graphic texture on the thing. So it's brown. So you got to be looking for like a darker half gallon or pint, you know, if you just want to do it for yourself.
Yeah, that's probably the better bet. Cookies, no one else needs it.
Cookies and cream cone. So it's cookies and cream ice cream with the chocolate waffle cone bits mixed in. It is, it's good. That's up there.
Oh, I'm making this happen.
Oh, it's in stores now. Like I said, we just polished off a half gallon last night. It lasted all of 5 days. But for us, that was, that's 10 servings. Cause we've been going exactly at the serving, like whatever, you know, 2 scoops is 90 grams is, which is a pretty, it's a hefty serving. Let's be honest. You don't have to go that easy. All right. We've shared the graphic. Let us know your thoughts. Tex-Mex barbecue or Whataburger. For your entree, your main dish, sides, Texas Twinkies, queso, cowboy caviar, and then your desserts. This one has the Dr. Pepper float, Bluebell. That's how we interpret. That's how I interpret it. Pecan fudge pie and sheet cake. I prefer my sheet cake without nuts, but the picture has no nuts. It's a girl sheet cake because we live in that level of maturity in our house, whether fudge or brownies or cookies, whatever, have nuts. It's a girl or boy version.
Goodness gracious.
I like the girl version. No nuts. Then yeah.
You don't go with castrated?
No, that's too far.
Okay. That's too far. Got it.
All right. So let us know what you guys think. And then let's wrap up with what do we learn, Michael? What do you say?
Sounds great.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either.
All right. Not all that surprising. Baseball's brutal. Texas Tech baseball, we talked about that at length. The other thing, baseball-wise, we had a game tonight. Grace had a game. I was there just watching the game. We played in the standings. So our beloved Tigers, dead last. We played the next team up from us, and they blasted us. Wow. We are that team. We are the Bad News Bears. We are awful. And poor Grayson, he was on the mound tonight. I say poor Grayson. He was doing really well. The umpire was a younger guy who was newer. He was having his struggles. Okay, so first batter Grayson faces, kid hits a chopper back to Grayson. He has to go to third base. He reaches down with his bare hand, bobbles it, but picks it up, doesn't throw to first because the runner's already there. Okay, so he gives up an infield single. Whatever, it happened. Had the ball got past Grayson, the shortstop would not have been able to make that play. It was like Grayson or nobody. And even then, I think, I'm not sure Grayson would have had enough time. Okay, second guy up, hits a high chopper, straight down, back up. Everybody on the third base side thinks that the ball hits the runner while he's in the box, so it should be a foul ball.
Mm-hmm.
But umpire doesn't see it, doesn't call it. Ball gets like 3 feet out in front of the catcher. So two very cheap hits. Run on first, run on second. Walks the third guy that he faces on a full count on a borderline pitch that was up. I was like, come on. We're talking about 8 and 9 year old pitchers and you've got an MLB zone, it feels like sometimes. So bases are loaded, nobody out. This dude gives up essentially a grand slam. It was an inside the park home run because this dude smokes the ball like, and it literally hugs the line, like up the first baseline. It is kicking up chalk all the way, bounces over the bag, which is, it's fair. I'm not saying the call was bad. First base couldn't get to it. Right fielder couldn't get to it. Couldn't relay it back in time. I was like, oh my gosh, poor dude just gave up 4 runs on 2 infield singles that bad luck plays. Walked a guy and then a screaming shot up the line that kicked up chalk. I was like, it just breaks your heart. He was fine. It didn't break him at all, but I was like, that sucks.
Well, that's great though. I mean, that's huge that he was just kind of taking it in stride and well, that's the way baseball goes. We could learn a thing or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did get a couple of strikeouts while he was on the mound. I think and then a ground out. Afterwards he got put back on third base. One of the next when he was up, bases were loaded, 2 outs. They hit a pretty sharp ground ball right to Grayson. Fields it cleanly, jogs over, gets the force out at third, ends the inning, no run scores. Like that's my son. That was fantastic. But yeah, we lost to the next to last place team, 13-3. It was bad. It was, I knew it. I knew it was going to be a rough year. Or I had my thoughts. We've got 2 more games this week. Everybody has a 3-game week built into their schedule. Just the way we all have to like share that. This week is our week. We play tonight. We play Thursday and then Friday. So we got to manage pitching that way because we only have like 4 pitchers on the team. And they have to have like so many days of rest depending on how many pitches they throw. Anyways, games 2 and 3 this week, we're playing teams first and second in the standings. It's like it's only going to get better.
It's fine. It's fine. Maybe you'll catch them on an off day. Maybe your team was on an off day.
They really weren't. But maybe. I mean, they could have a great day. The other team could be on an off day. It could happen. But Tigers are 0-6 at this point in the season. Yeah. What'd you learn?
I learned that a cold, rainy day is a good day to go find a wonderful ramen place.
I really want to get out and try one of the ramen restaurants here in town. I just, never comes up as like something that I seek out.
There's okay.
Like it never comes up. So I just need to have it like on my mind, ramen.
And so this was my wife's idea. I was like, yes, we need to have ramen today. That sounds so good. Yanagi, Y-A-N-A-G-I, Yanagi Ramen, which is in one of the newer shopping centers just south of Perry's Pizza, across the street from
that's in my hood.
Whataburger on
Quaker.
Man, I always blank on that. So just south of 114th and Quaker.
Yeah, up there by the west side. And Perry's Pizzeria, which you and I have been there. They got great stuff.
That's right. So we go in there, cold turkey, didn't know anything about it. Really cool place inside. Great staff. We got there like at 11 something because our little one had stayed over at my mom's. So we were just kind of, let's go have an early lunch. And so anyway, I ended up not getting ramen, even though that's what we went for because my wife did, and she loved it. It was great. She brought home like over half of it and heated it up on the stove the next day and just loved it. So the ramen was excellent, but I went for the bento box. And now I know when we normally talk about, right? Yeah. Okay. So I didn't even know they had it. I'd already picked out what ramen I wanted. And my wife pointed out on the back, oh, they have bento boxes. And I thought, oh, okay. Oh, what? And so I switched over and completely changed my decision because for $16, a normal person could have gotten two meals out of this easily, but I am not a normal person.
You got to be big.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, well, I got to try everything I get the chance to. And that was for the steak. I think the chicken was a dollar cheaper. So for $16, you get to pick your, whether you want salad or clear soup as your starter. I chose the clear soup and the clear soup. I could tell, you know, you go to a hibachi place and you have clear soup. Uh-huh. It's great. It's fine. I enjoy it every time. I went here, Spencer, and I could smell it. Ooh. Like I pulled it up. I could smell it before I ate it. I thought this is going to be delicious. And it was really delicious, clear soup. So next they bring out the bento box, which has your choice of kind of appetizer. And they had like five or six things to pick from. And I just thought, I'm just going to go spring rolls. We're going to keep it simple. The spring rolls were super crispy, super airy, super fresh, had a great little kind of boom boom sauce or something that you could dip it in. Those were fantastic. Some probably up there with some of the best spring rolls I've ever had. And then you had perfect sticky white rice in one of your little boxes. Then you had six pieces of a California roll with ginger and wasabi. Yeah. I mean, it was six pieces. Four.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think the picture even showed four and they came out with six. I thought, oh, this is great. And then so for my meat, I chose steak and they perfectly grilled this steak with kind of like a teriyaki sauce over a bed of hibachi vegetables.
Oh, stop.
And so then you could
I have to go get right 10:30 at night. Here we go.
Yanagi Ramen, guys. It was pretty great. We are already excited to go back.
I've texted the wife. I said, hey, next time we're feeling adventurous, we're going to go try Yanagi Ramen.
You know, what's funny is I've already sent my wife a message saying Spencer is talking up Bluebell's cookies and cream cone ice cream. We should look for it.
Yeah. It's in Walmart's and United. Like you can find it basically anywhere, but we're texting the wife.
We're communicating with our significant others right now. Just like, oh yeah, well, that was a good food take. Pass that along.
Their sushi rolls look fantastic. I was looking at their ramen cause they've got nine pre-built ramen, whatever, but you can also build your own.
Oh, I didn't even see that. I think she just went with like the number one. Yeah, which was the pork one.
The Yanagi Signature. It's
right.
Pork
we broth. Just thought.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to read it.
She just started there. And that was the one I was going to get too. But yeah, all of it looks so good. I was kind of not so sure about the spicy. I'm always nervous about getting spicy.
That things. One looks good. Let's call my name Spicy Tonkatsu Ramen.
Yes. Hot and it's flavored sauce. With hot chili sauce. Yeah.
I'm looking at the menu right now. Black garlic ramen sounds good. I could probably leave the spicy curry and the shrimp. I'm not a whatever. The chicken, the shoyu, vegetables, seafood, or build your own. So you got four options of your broth, five options on your noodle, seven options on your protein, including tofu, and then toppings. We got to go.
Yeah, y'all got to check it out, and we will be back too.
Yeah.
That's what I learned. Yanagi ramen.
Yeah. It's a fantastic food episode for us, by the way. That'll do it for Stellar. Us. Yeah. On the 23 Personnel Podcast, picking your Texas food, pick 'em, and chopping up Yanagi ramen. Not a sponsor, no free ads. But anyways, baseball, that's the way baseball go, I guess. I've got a big series this weekend in Kansas, but for Michael, I'm Spencer. Catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast. Help us out by subscribing, rating the show, and leaving a review. Follow us on Twitter at 23 Personnel, Spencer at Puntsuck, and Michael at Michael_LBK. Be sure to catch the next episode. And until then, guns up and let the tortillas fly.